Waves of grace. Isn't it great to be recipients of the grace of God? Well, I've been asked over the years, you know, and we all get asked this because those of us at least that are on staff, you know, raise support and people ask us, what are these navigators? Why do they exist? And I've gotten asked that a lot more over this last year than I did the years before that. Sometime this last year, I was at a wedding of a young friend of ours, and at the wedding, I happened to see this pastor. We'll call him Pastor Mark. And I had been acquainted with him over the years. He was a pastor in the Front Range, and at the reception, we ended up talking together. And he came up to me, and he said, Doug, I don't know if you knew this, but I am so grateful for the work of the navigators in my life. Because at Fort Campbell, years ago, I got started because some navigator staff invested in my life. Well, I come to listen and find out, and we talk, and I find that this gentleman had gotten started, had gotten a heart for the Word of God, had gotten a vision for generations, a desire to invest in people's lives. And he ended up, after he got out of the service, he went to seminary and he became a chaplain. And he has, over these years, become a chaplain to chaplains. And it probably would be no exaggeration to say that thousands upon thousands, through a ripple effect of the work of grace, because he chose to invest in people's lives, have been touched all over the world. One life touched in one place. So, you know, when we talk about the navigators, one of the ways that I've come to explain to my friends who the navigators are is that I say that the navigators are a prolific kingdom human resource producer. A prolific kingdom human resource producer. If the navigators do nothing, we do that. And clearly all over the world, there are everyday men and women in every walk of life who are following Jesus and helping others because some navigator who was trained helped them. And they're helping others. There's no way we can possibly count the number of people impacted by the navigators. And what an incredible ripple of the gospel. And the military ministry of the navigators, without a doubt, and I would even say is most strategically positioned to carry out this purpose among the diverse people of our world. Because the military mission is uniquely postured to cross all the barriers. The barriers of age. The barriers of ethnicity. Socioeconomic barriers. Geographic barriers. Cultural barriers. That's where you live. And I think it's no exaggeration to say that today you are postured more than any other part of our work to take the gospel into the diversity of our world. Doesn't get much more exciting than that. You know, and then on top of that, you know, I had lunch with Joseph, and you know, he's got this vision for the world, and he's preaching to me and saying, yeah, anyone that talks to him knows that it kind of comes out when you start talking to him. That the military ministry is best postured because we have men and women who have been trained cross-culturally already. Amazing. As you heard in this video, we're asking God to raise up generations of people who live out of brokenness and a longing for God, who in the context of a community of friends are experiencing the life and soul transformation of the gospel. And are living and serving and discipling among those that are far from God, right where they live, fight, work, play. Pam and I were with our daughter and son-in-law at a church, at an Easter service this last weekend. And after the service, it's a 30-something church. And after the service, we were out milling around in the foyer, and all of a sudden I noticed this guy that was not a 30-something. Pam and I were the oldest ones in the room that I had seen that to that point. And all of a sudden I noticed this guy that was a more senior. And I was like, oh, man, wonder what he's doing here. What's going on in his life? I go over and talk to him. Come to find out, he met the navigators at the Coast Guard Academy years and years and years ago. Got his start. And has a desire to invest in the few. And, you know, he found this cool 30-something church. And he's, a consultant, does different things. He's a business guy, close to retirement, and is investing. We're all over the place. And you know, the real heroes of this movement, are the hundreds of thousands of everyday people that don't get paid to be navigators, of which there's, you know, the rumor is this morning there's 100 or so of you that have joined us today. You're the heroes. And you know that you represent thousands of people who are impacted because of the military ministry. Everyday people loving Jesus and following Him. And so this morning I want to ask us a question. Because if God would use the military ministry of the navigators to accomplish this vision, it's going to happen because He uses us. And so the question I'd ask is, what is necessary for God to use you fully for the sake of His purposes? Father, we thank You for being here. We thank You and we trust that Your Spirit both indwells us and empowers this time for Your glory and for Your sake and for the sake of the fame of Your name among the nation and the nations of the world. And so, Lord, we just acknowledge right now that You're here, that You're in charge, and we ask that You would open our ears to hear the things that You want to say. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, you know, Christmas and Easter are just in the rearview mirror, right? And, you know, Pam and I, like I said, we're up here in Denver with our daughter and son-in-law in, at an Easter service and just wonderfully reminded of the power of the resurrection. And if you look a little bit further back, you know, to Christmas, kind of remember Christmas, which seems so far away now. But if you look a little further back, you know, in all likelihood, if you were in any kind of service or anything like that, you may have heard a prophecy out of Isaiah that finds, you know, expression in the Hallelujah chorus. Isaiah 9:2 says this about the coming Jesus. The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of the shadow of death, a light has dawned. The grace and power of God in that passage in Isaiah 9 is portrayed as light in the darkness. So another way to phrase the question I expressed earlier is, how will God use us as light in this dark world? And God certainly calls each of us in this room to be light. A number of years ago, Pam and I, in our desires to live missionally in our community, we like Mexican food. So, you know, it's completely good, by the way, to combine things you like with this missional living, okay? We, you know, You know, at certain times we can be convinced that you have to do stuff that you don't like to really serve Jesus. But we like Mexican food, okay? So we started hanging out at this Mexican food restaurant that we really liked. Had great appetizers, cheap appetizers, particularly at happy hour. And during that period of time, we came to meet this young guy named Calvin, who was working there. He's a waiter and bartender. And we always tried to sit in the section that he was working and would talk to him and get to know him. And we just started getting to know this guy. And what we came to learn about Calvin over a period of time as he just kind of shared his life with us, one is he was really slick. He's kind of handsome. He's about 30. He liked women and women liked him. He had a huge appetite for alcohol. He had a huge appetite that anything that would make his heart sing. And as Pam and I continued to go in over the weeks and months, we would ask ourselves the question, how in the world could we possibly be a light to Calvin? He was so distant from Jesus. And we'll come back to Calvin later. Flip with me over to 2 Corinthians 4, 1-7. This is where we're going to camp out this morning. 2 Corinthians 4, 1-7, where we will learn what does God desire to do through us. Therefore, since through God's mercy we have this ministry, we do not lose heart. Rather, we have renounced secret and shameful ways. We do not use deception, nor do we distort the word of God. On the contrary, by setting forth the truth plainly, we commend ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. And even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing. The God of this age has blinded the minds of unbelievers so that they cannot see the gospel, the light of the gospel, of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. For we do not preach ourselves, but Jesus Christ is Lord, and ourselves as your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who said, "Let light shine out of darkness," made his light shine in our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ. But we have this treasure in jars of clay to show that this all-surpassing power is from God and not from us. So we ask the question, how will God fulfill his purposes in our lives? How will God empower us to be lights in the midst of a dark world? So this morning, what we'll look at is four principles from Paul on God's purposes through light-filled cracked pots or cracked pots. I've got some pots up here. There's even a light. There was a light in there, believe me. There's no cracks in it. These are actually our pots from home. And Pam... anyway, four principles from Paul on God's purposes through light-filled cracked pots. Principle number one, we are broken ambassadors. Therefore, since through God's mercy, we have this ministry. Our ministry, our influence for the kingdom is not of ourselves. Any influence and ministry that we have is by God's mercy. So we see in brokenness and we admit that we say, God, it is only by your mercy that you use us. Jesus said, apart from me, you can do nothing. Not apart from me, you can do some things. Not apart from me, if you really work hard and you're really smart and you're competent, you can get some stuff done. Apart from me, you can do nothing. Some of you may have read in an issue of the Navigators put out this little piece called One to One, and recently in that there was a story about Captain Jeremy Tillman. Jeremy, Captain Tillman, November 24th, 2007, had a day that he will never forget. On a routine night mission in Baghdad with a group of both Iraqis and comrades in arms, his world, his body, and his life was racked by an IED. With extensive injuries to his legs, he was brought to a Baghdad hospital. And in this article, it says that Jeremy's testimony says, I began to fear that I might lose my legs or that I might die from loss of blood. I was afraid to lose consciousness, thinking that if I did, I would certainly die. Back then, Jeremy didn't have a relationship with God. But he did know the Lord's Prayer. So you can envision this scene, Jeremy being transported to this hospital, fearful, racked with pain, his soul shaken to the depths of himself. I said that prayer on the way to the aid station. I felt an easiness come over me. This article says, as amazing as his physical recovery was, Jeremy was even more grateful for his spiritual transformation. The hunger for God he felt after his first surgery in the Baghdad hospital found satisfaction in the community of Navigators at Fort Bragg, where he ended up going. During his recovery at Fort Bragg, he shows up and Doug Cody, and I met Doug on the way in, actually. Said that upon Jeremy's return, that Jeremy told him, I really want to grow. I want to get my relationship with Christ squared away. You know, isn't it true in our own lives that it's in situations where we experience the mercy of God in some way that God gets our attention? And certainly Jeremy, because of the providence of God, was spared. Physically, Jeremy experienced the mercy of God physically, but also spiritually. Because through his physical, that experience that rocked his world, he was drawn to a deeper dependence on Christ. And God got a hold of his soul too. It's not our competencies, it's not our gifts, it's not our experience, it's not our merits, it's no awards we get that we've received that makes us useful to God. It's being a person who is dependent on God's grace in Christ and on His mercy. No rank, no position in the kingdom. We all stand at the level ground of the foot of the cross. And that is the first principle of God's purposes through light-filled cracked pots. We are broken ambassadors, desperate for Jesus Christ. The second principle regarding God's purposes through light-filled cracked pots is that we live in a blind world. And even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing. The God of this age has blinded the minds of unbelievers so that they cannot see the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ. A battle still rages. We live among a people who are blinded and unable to find their way. And as recipients of God's mercy, that ought to bring mercy in our hearts. Because we live among a people who are blind and cannot see. Pam and I have interacted with friends across the country, even these last months. And as you do as well, we have friends who are shaken by difficulties in marriage, and difficulties in marriage really doesn't do it justice. Are desperate. Friends who have kids who are going through such difficult, life-shaking situations that just causes their parents to just grieve. People hanging on by a thread, empty, lonely. And those people, for those people in that situation, it is so easy for them to look for life and love in all the wrong places. Without Christ, how can we blame them? They're blind. We live among blind people. And my daughter, actually, when she went off to college and we really encouraged her to get in a sorority, and she was struggling like crazy, not struggling spiritually, she was struggling with what she was around in that setting. And she was wrestling with it. And I remember having a conversation on the phone when she had come to this conclusion. Yeah, Dad, I've been struggling. It's really hard. I want to quit. But you know what? I've realized the darkness is where Jesus wants the light. Among blind people is where he wants the light of the glory of God in the face of Christ. People apart from Christ are not just people going through hard things. People apart from Christ are blind and unable to see the way forward. So the second principle for God's purposes through light-filled crackpots is that we live in a blind world. The third principle regarding God's purposes through light-filled crackpots is that we are bond servants. For we do not preach ourselves, but Jesus Christ is Lord, and ourselves as your servants for Jesus' sake. What is God's answer to a blind world? Well, there's many things that we can try to use to reach a blind world. And there are a lot of good things that we use to reach a blind world. But God's primary means for a blind world? Servants. This word in the Greek is bondservant, which means slave. And it finds its history back in the Old Testament. Where a Hebrew slave would be a slave for 6 years, and after 6 years, he would have an opt-out clause. At the end of 6 years, a Hebrew slave would have the option for he and his family to go free. A bond slave was one who decided to continue to be a slave to his master. And they did a ceremony, actually, where they took his ear and they pounded a wooden awl into the door frame of the house. They'd let him go. Don't worry. We didn't leave him hanging there. That was a weak attempt at a joke, okay? Okay. But, yeah, so they do that it was piercing in BC. So, you know, they have him there, and it was a representation that this slave had chosen to bind himself to the master. So when Paul talks about bond slaves, he knew that picture. He knew that those of us that are bond slaves of Jesus Christ have chosen to be slaves for the sake of Christ. We've chosen to have ourselves bound to the master. And so God chooses to use servants as his answer to a blind world. Another place that Pam and I chose to hang out through the years was our local Starbucks. We like coffee, and there was we've actually moved to another part of town, and we now have another Starbucks we've adopted. But at that Starbucks, it was a place that our kids grew up. A lot of high school kids that we knew went there. Families that we knew came there. It was one of the places that we decided we would connect with our community. You know, I'd encourage you to think about that. Where's a place that you can connect with your community, with blind people in a dark world? And so we would hang out there, and over the years, investing many dollars in Starbucks. Yeah, that stuff's not cheap. We got to know the managers and the people that worked there. And one of the managers' name was Ellie. And we just began to walk with her, ask her questions about her life, find out about her background. We got to know Ellie at Christmas time. We'd write her little notes and Christmas card. And as we got to know her a little bit more, you know, it takes a while across a counter to get to know people. You ever notice that? But if you keep hanging out there, you kind of, over time, those 2-minute, 5-minute conversations actually take on life. We give her books, you know, and at Christmas time, you can give her books that had gospel in the book and stuff. It's very cool. We got to know Ellie and really grew to love her. And at one point in time, we came to recognize that we got to know someone that was in a very popular independent band, and we had known him since he was a little guy, and he was back in Denver, and we recruited him to come down and do a coffee shop at our Starbucks. And we went to Ellie, and we told her the idea, and of course she was jazzed. She was like, man, that would draw in the crowds, and was like, yeah. So we said, Ellie, we'll help set it up. We'll talk to him and stuff. And we did this coffee shop at our Starbucks. This guy comes in. I mean, there were people flowing out of the doorway. This is a pretty good sized coffee shop. They sold so much coffee that night. I mean, they made all kinds of money. And for an assistant manager, that's a good deal, right? Well, afterwards, we're cleaning up, and Pam and I are still there. We're helping clean up and stuff. And Ellie comes over, and she says, thank you so much. Thank you so much. But why? Why? We said, you know, Ellie, we love you. We want you to be successful. We want to be involved to give encouragement in your life. And you know from what we do around here, because we have Bible studies, we were reading the Bible in the coffee shop, you know who we follow. And we just want to love you. Well, Ellie ended up moving on. And when she moved on, we had a party at our house for her, for the regulars at the coffee shop. I mean, it was so funny. You know, we went to the manager and said, where do you normally do, you know, do you do parties for people that are leaving? She goes, well, sometimes. And she says, well, where do you do them? Well, I don't know, Applebee's or something. I said, well, have you ever done them at someone's house? And wow, well, you do that? Serving for the sake of Jesus. Little things. Ellie ended up going on to another store to be a manager in another city. And a while later, we got this note from her. Words cannot express what it meant to me that you two opened your home to our store for my going away party. At Starbucks, I always hope that I make a difference in someone's day. So thanks for making mine. Not just today, but every day that you came in. It's been a pleasure being a part of your lives. And thank you for making me feel like my job is less about my work and more about community. Best wishes, Ellie. Now, Ellie is a story of someone that, as far as we knew at that time, didn't come to faith. We had conversations. We had dialogue. She saw our lives in technicolor. and she was served and loved by us. And some major seeds were planted. True kingdom citizens, followers of Christ, increasingly are moving from a me-centered existence to a God-centered and other-centered existence. They are increasingly servants of God and servants of the people around them. And in fact, I think we all know this. I think we all know this in our hearts, but we need encouragement in this direction. Being a servant seems to be the primary means by which a watching world can tell the difference between everyone else and those who know Jesus Christ. So we choose to serve. We choose to be a bond servant, one who has bound themselves to the King for life, a slave. So that third principle regarding God's purposes through cracked-filled or light-filled cracked pots, we are bond servants. And finally, the fourth principle regarding God's purposes through light-filled cracked pots is that we are beacons of light. Verse 6 and 7 in the Message says it this way. Listen to this. It all started when God said, "Light up the darkness," and our lives filled up with the light as we saw and understood God in the face of Christ, all bright and beautiful. If you only look at us, you might well miss the brightness. We carry this precious message around in the unadorned clay pots of our ordinary lives. That's to prevent anyone from confusing God's incomparable power with us. God's answer to a blind world, not primarily our competency or our methods, it's God's light in us. The light of the knowledge of the glory of God. What an amazing truth. Do you ever think about that? You know, that first Christmas when it said light was going to come into the world and it came in Jesus? That the Spirit of Jesus dwells in us? Amazing. You know, in that verse, look at verse 6 there in the NIV. You know, it says, "For God who said, 'Let light shine out of darkness,' made His light shine in our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ." The interesting thing of that verse is those are three different Greek words. The first one, phos, which just means light or daylight. Let light shine out of darkness. So it's just light. Made His light, lampo. God put a lamp in us. Made His light shine in our hearts. He put His lamp in us to give us the light, photismos, illumination. So translated a different way, it might say, God who said, "Let light shine out of darkness," made His lamp shine in our hearts to give us the illumination of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ. Amazing that we are called to be the illuminating light of Jesus among blind people. Oh, what a miracle. Let me finish our story here about Calvin. And just a story of God using broken ambassadors. Oh, sorry, honey, I left that in there. Oh. That's a picture of Pam and I back in our college days. as you can tell, strong, gifted, competent, ready to take on the world. No, broken ambassadors. And while I can put a press shirt on and some nice slacks and some nice shoes, a cracked pot. One who stands by God's mercy, and Pam and I stand by God's mercy at the foot of the cross, knowing that only by the power of the resurrection does anything good come out of these bones. So Calvin, you know, we're hanging out at our favorite Mexican food restaurant. You know, we're dependent on Christ for Him to show us the way. And we have such a desire to see Calvin get closer to Christ. Spiritually blind, as you've heard, looking for life and love in all the wrong places. So we continued to go there and we loved him. And one way that we serve people yet to know Christ is we ask questions. Even when they're telling us stuff that we don't want to hear. We keep asking questions to get to know them. And it expresses love in great ways. Because, you know, people don't ask questions. We all know that, right? Are you a question asker? Do you serve by being a question asker? You know, how many times are you in an office, sitting in a truck someplace, going someplace, hanging out someplace with people, and there's no conversation. And if there is any conversation, it's all about them. Hey, go with it. Just ask some more questions. Love on them. And so we got to know Calvin over that period of time. You know, and we would even do things like when our daughter got married and, you know, the night before the rehearsal dinner night, that extra night where family had come in, we have all our extended family or a bunch of our extended family in. And we said, where should we go? I know where we'll go. Let's go to our place and we'll get Calvin to serve us. And so we show up and we set it up and we say, Calvin, man, we would love to have you serve our family. My daughter's getting married and kind of, you know, you can get to know the family. And so he's got the big table and we tip, you know, big time and we just love on him. And so months go by. And at some point, and getting to know other waiters, and he and this guy named Jason had gotten to be friends. And said, hey, let's go out. You know, you want to just hang out sometime? And so we started hanging out a little bit. The first time we went out, you know, started asking questions. They asked questions, and they go, now really, you know, really, what do you do? And any time they had asked that question, I would just say, you know, well, I work for this nonprofit. You know, I'm, you know, a leader guy at this nonprofit. It's called the Navigators. And they never asked what the Navigators were. And this time they go, really, what do you do? And I said, we really try to help people experience authentic spirituality in Jesus. And they go, wow. And both of them, Jason and Calvin, are both like, wow, yeah, well, I went to church this one time. Tell me about this. And you know, and the conversation starts flowing, you know. And as we met over a period of time, we're, you know, beginning to put tracks down. That first time, at the end of the time, Jason has left, Calvin's still there, and I said, Calvin, I said, to be honest with you, I was kind of concerned you were going to ask me that question. You know, we've known each other for like a year, and you have, you know, that I'd be, you know, this big spiritual guy, and it would mess our relationship up. And he goes, no, I asked you, and I'm interested. And here's what he said. He paused and he said, I've got a lot of regulars that come into the restaurant. But there's no one like you and your family. What is it with you people? And what Calvin was saying exactly was, I see the illumination of the light of the glory of God in the face of Christ in your lives, and it's attractive to me. And so we got a chance to meet a few times, and he was moving. And then, unfortunately, an event in his life took place, which was really a hard trauma in his life, and he ended up moving away all of a sudden, just like that. It almost became, like where we couldn't even get a hold of him. Gone. And so again, many times it does not get closed like we would like it to. Four principles on God's purposes through light-filled cracked pots is that, one, we are broken ambassadors, only able to help others because of the merciful work of God. We are sent to a blind world to bring the light of God to those who are broken, blind, and without hope. We are bond servants, slaves, willing to serve those yet to know Him. And we are beacons of light, God's light, shining through our imperfections. And friends, that's who the navigators are. That's who you are. That's who we hope we will be. People who know Christ are intentionally engaging with Him in the Scriptures, in prayer, and believing the promises of God, dependent on Him. Because we're broken, dependent on the power of His transforming work to continue to change us and transform us before a watching world. And we're people whose lives, through our lives, God brings the gospel, the light of Christ to a blind world. Let me pray. And I pray this over us, this truth, from Zephaniah 3:17, because this is true of us, and we need it desperately. The Lord your God is with you. He is mighty to save. He will take great delight in you. He will quiet you with His love. He will rejoice over you with singing. Lord Jesus, we thank You that that is what is true about us, as You look upon us, that You love us, that You delight in us, that You quiet us, that You save us, and You sing over us. Make us these kind of people. Lord, won't You send us out and make us people who are lights and servants in the midst of a blind world. And Lord, even as we do that and pray that, we think of the faces of a few friends right now. Think of those faces that are yet to know Jesus. Do you see them? And Lord, like You wept, we weep for them. We want them to know You. We want them to know Your light. Lord, we pray that You would use us in their lives, that they would come to You, that they be grounded in You. And Lord, that the ripple of Your grace would go on. And Lord, that out of this room, the nations of the earth would be touched. In Jesus' name, amen.